When giants rule the battlefield, institutional gatekeeping and the loss of strategic imagination. Five stones in the brook. What the story of David reveals about modern defense innovation. The Pentagon's Goliath problem. How credentialism and gatekeeping suppress disruptive solutions. Author, Othniel Max Daves. Date, March 10, 2026. The structural problem that has slowly embedded itself within the American defense establishment, academia, and large portions of the federal bureaucracy is not merely inefficiency or risk aversion. It is a cultural disposition rooted in institutional arrogance and credentialism. Over time, a narrow class of gatekeepers has come to dominate the pathways through which ideas, technologies, and strategic innovations are allowed to enter the national security system. Access is frequently determined less by the intrinsic merit of a solution than by the pedigree of the person presenting it, the right academic credentials, the proper institutional affiliations, the correct clearances, and the approval of those already inside the circle. This produces a closed ecosystem in which insiders primarily listen to other insiders, reinforcing the assumptions and frameworks that produce the current system in the first place. The consequence is a gradual but profound vulnerability. Systems designed to defend the nation become resistant to the very forms of creative disruption required to adapt to new threats. Maverick innovators, independent engineers, unconventional thinkers, and civilian technologists, precisely the type of people who historically drive breakthrough solutions, often find themselves treated as outsiders to be filtered out, rather than as potential assets to be evaluated. The biblical account of David and Goliath provides a remarkably clear narrative mirror of this phenomenon. When the Philistine champion Goliath stepped onto the battlefield, the entire Israelite military structure froze. King Saul represented the institutional authority of this state, the official commander, armored in the trappings of kingship and military power. The soldiers and David's older brothers represented the trained professionals of the system. Men who had followed the expected path of service and had accepted the prevailing assumptions about warfare and power. Their thinking was constrained by the framework they knew. Goliath appeared unbeatable because he represented dominance within the very paradigm they understood. Heavy armor, towering physical strength, and the ritualized form of close combat between champions. Within that paradigm, defeat seemed inevitable. Saul's instinctive solution illustrates the mindset of institutions facing an unfamiliar challenge. He attempted to solve the problem using the same tools and structures that had already failed. When David volunteered, Saul tried to place him into the existing system by dressing him in royal armor and conventional weapons. In other words, the institution attempted to convert the unconventional solution into a familiar one. David's thinking operated outside that framework. As a shepherd rather than a soldier, he was not psychologically bound by the expectations of the battlefield hierarchy. He had learned his craft in the margins of society rather than within the formal military establishment. His experiences protecting sheep from predators had forced him to develop practical solutions using the tools already present in his environment, a sling, stones, and situational awareness. Where the professionals saw a giant warrior whose armor made him invulnerable, David saw a large target whose mobility was limited and whose forehead remained exposed. Instead of accepting the rules of engagement assumed by the military establishment, he changed the engagement entirely. The sling transformed the confrontation from a close quarters duel into a ranged engagement. What appeared to the trained soldiers as primitive equipment was in fact a highly effective ballistic weapon capable of lethal velocity in skilled hands. David did not rely on the institutional wisdom of the army or the ceremonial armor of the king. He relied on a clear assessment of reality and on tools already available. The deeper lesson in the narrative is not simply that a young shepherd defeated a giant, but that institutional systems often fail precisely because they cannot imagine solutions outside their inherited frameworks. Saul and the soldiers were not unintelligent or cowardly men. They were trapped within a professional culture that defined what a legitimate solution was supposed to look like. David represented the disruptive outsider who recognized that the problem itself had been misframed. When he stepped onto the battlefield with 5 smooth stones and a sling, he demonstrated that the advantage did not belong to the most imposing institution, but to the individual capable of seeing reality without the constraints of institutional pride. In modern terms, the story reflects the danger of defense ecosystems that rely too heavily on hierarchy, credentials, and tightly controlled innovation channels. When a system becomes convinced that wisdom flows only from within its established ranks, it risks overlooking the very people who can perceive weaknesses others cannot. The lesson embedded in the ancient narrative remains strategically relevant. The tools needed to defeat the giant are often already present, but they are recognized only by those willing to look beyond the assumptions of the establishment. The narrative becomes even more instructive when one considers the reactions of those closest to David before the confrontation occurred. His brothers, who were already embedded within the military hierarchy, responded to him not with curiosity, but with dismissal. Their reaction reflected the psychology that often develops within professional institutions. Those who have followed the recognized pathway into a system begin to equate legitimacy with participation in that system. Because David had not arrived through the accepted channels of military experience, his confidence appeared to them not as insight, but as arrogance. In their view, the battlefield was a place reserved for the credentialed, those who had trained, served, and earned their place within the structure. This instinctive protection of institutional identity is one of the most persistent barriers to innovation in any complex organization. The outsider's proposal is rejected not necessarily because it is incorrect, but because it originates outside the recognized order of authority. Saul's interaction with David illustrates a second layer of institutional behavior: the compulsion to standardize unconventional solutions so that they conform to existing doctrine. Saul did not immediately reject David's offer. Instead, he attempted to integrate him into the existing military framework by placing the king's armor upon him. This moment is highly symbolic. The armor represented the accumulated wisdom of the military establishment, tested methods, established equipment, and hierarchical authority. Yet when David attempted to walk in it, he found he could barely move. The armor that symbolized the system's strength also represented its rigidity. David understood something that institutions frequently struggle to recognize: tools. And structures that work well in one context may become liabilities in another. By removing the armor, he was not rejecting the authority of the kingdom, but he was refusing to fight a new problem using a framework that had already proven ineffective. The choice of the sling further underscores this dynamic. In ancient warfare, the sling was not merely a shepherd's toy. It was a weapon capable of extraordinary precision and velocity when used by someone skilled in its operation. However, it was associated with rural life rather than elite warrior culture. To the professional soldiers observing David walk toward Goliath with only a staff, a sling, and stones gathered from the ground, the act must have appeared absurd. They were witnessing a confrontation that violated their understanding of how battles were supposed to be fought. Goliath himself reacted with contempt, assuming that the contest would unfold according to the same pattern he had used to intimidate Israel for 40 days. His own arrogance mirrored that of the institutional system facing him. Like many powerful actors throughout history, he believed that superiority in the existing paradigm guaranteed victory. Yet the encounter demonstrates how paradigm shifts occur in real time. When David launched the stone from his sling, he effectively converted a ritualized duel into a kinetic engagement governed by speed and physics rather than brute strength. The heavy armor that had made Goliath appear invincible now became a liability. His mobility was reduced, his reaction time was slower, and the exposed portion of his forehead became a fatal vulnerability. In a matter of seconds, the entire strategic picture changed. What the army of Israel had perceived as an unbeatable adversary collapsed because someone approached the problem from a different vantage point. The lesson extends beyond the battlefield and into the broader pattern of how societies adapt, or fail to adapt, to emerging challenges. Large institutions often develop complex bureaucratic and cultural mechanisms designed to preserve stability and authority. Over time, these mechanisms can unintentionally suppress the very forms of creativity that allow systems to survive disruption. Gatekeeping becomes a method of maintaining order, yet it can also become a filter that removes unconventional thinkers from the conversation. When this happens, the institution gradually loses its ability to recognize solutions that originate outside its established structures. The David narrative illustrates that transformative solutions frequently emerge from the margins rather than the center of power. Shepherds, craftsmen, engineers, independent researchers, and civilian innovators often operate closer to practical realities than those insulated within institutional hierarchies. Their perspective is shaped less by bureaucratic incentives and more by direct interaction with problems that demand workable solutions. Because they are not constrained by the expectations of established doctrine, they may perceive vulnerabilities and opportunities that remain invisible to the official system. History repeatedly demonstrates that breakthroughs often come from individuals or small groups who approach problems without the weight of institutional assumptions. The innovation that changes the trajectory of a conflict or an industry frequently begins with someone willing to examine the tools already present and ask whether they might be used differently. In the David narrative, the stones were not exotic weapons imported from distant lands. They were simply lying in the brook at the edge of the battlefield. What mattered was the insight to recognize their potential and the skill to use them effectively. This is the enduring relevance of the story. The central issue was never the physical size of Goliath or the youth of David. It was the contrast between two ways of thinking. One approach relied on established hierarchy, prestige, and the assumption that past methods would continue to define future victories. The other relied on clear perception, adaptability, and the willingness to use available resources in unconventional ways. When the confrontation ended, the victory did not belong to institutional power, but to the individual who understood reality more clearly than those who had been entrusted with authority. The parallel to the modern defense sector becomes increasingly clear when the dynamics of that ancient narrative are placed beside the structural behavior of contemporary institutions. The United States possesses immense military capability, extraordinary technological capacity, and some of the most sophisticated research institutions in the world. Yet the organizational architecture through which ideas must travel has gradually hardened into a system that often filters out precisely the kind of unconventional thinking that disruptive threats require. In the same way that Saul's court and the Israelite army could only initially perceive the confrontation with Goliath through the lens of conventional combat, many elements within the modern defense ecosystem continue to interpret emerging challenges through frameworks built for earlier eras of warfare. Within the Pentagon, major defense contractors, and the academic institutions that support them, innovation often moves through tightly controlled channels. These channels are built around security clearances, established procurement pathways, formal credentials, and networks of professional familiarity. Such structures were originally created for understandable reasons. National security requires trust, accountability, and protection of sensitive information. However, over time, these safeguards have evolved into gatekeeping mechanisms that sometimes privilege institutional continuity over adaptive experimentation. Individuals or groups who do not possess the correct institutional affiliations often encounter significant barriers, even when their ideas address real operational problems. This environment can unintentionally produce a form of intellectual homogeneity. When decision makers are drawn from similar professional backgrounds and operate within the same institutional culture for decades, their assumptions about how problems should be solved begin to converge. The result is not incompetence, but a narrowing of perspective. The same organizations that excel at refining existing systems may struggle to recognize radically different approaches. In the biblical narrative, the Israelite army had the skill and experience to conduct conventional warfare. What they lacked was the willingness to recognize that the situation demanded a different kind of engagement altogether. A similar tension can be observed in the way modern defense institutions approach emerging technological domains. Autonomous systems, low-cost drone swarms, decentralized manufacturing, and rapidly evolving civilian technologies often develop outside the traditional defense industrial base. These innovations frequently originate in small companies, independent laboratories, or even informal engineering communities that operate far from the established procurement structure. Yet when these ideas attempt to enter the formal defense system, they often encounter a labyrinth of requirements, certification processes, and contractual barriers. The system attempts, much like Saul fitting armor onto David, to force unconventional solutions into legacy frameworks designed for very different kinds of platforms and timelines. Meanwhile, potential adversaries do not always share the same institutional constraints. States and non-state actors alike have demonstrated a willingness to experiment with asymmetric methods that bypass traditional military hierarchies. Inexpensive drones assembled from commercial components have altered battlefield economics. Improvised electronic warfare tools and rapidly iterated software capabilities can disrupt far more expensive systems. Small teams operating with limited resources have shown the ability to impose disproportionate strategic costs on technologically advanced militaries. These developments echo the dynamic present in the story of David and Goliath. The decisive advantage does not always belong to the side with the most impressive equipment, but to the side willing to redefine the engagement. The problem, therefore, is not that the American defense establishment lacks intelligence or resources. It is that large institutions naturally drift toward protecting their own processes. Over time, the emphasis on credentials, clearance status, and established relationships can overshadow the evaluation of ideas on their merits. Talented civilian innovators, engineers, entrepreneurs, material scientists, independent researchers may possess insights shaped by practical experimentation and exposure to rapidly evolving technological ecosystems. Yet if they do not originate from within the established networks, their perspectives may never reach the decision makers capable of acting on them. The David narrative illustrates a different model of recognizing capability. David did not possess the armor of a soldier, the rank of an officer, or the endorsement of established authority. What he possessed was a clear understanding of the problem and mastery of a toolset developed outside the formal military structure. His victory was not the result of institutional validation, but of demonstrated effectiveness. Once the stone struck Goliath, the reality of the solution could no longer be ignored. For modern defense institutions, the lesson is less about romanticizing outsiders and more about recognizing the strategic value of intellectual permeability. Systems responsible for national security must maintain safeguards, but they must also remain capable of identifying unconventional solutions wherever they arise. Innovation ecosystems that are too tightly sealed eventually lose contact with the broader technological landscape from which many transformative ideas originate. The deeper strategic risk is that adversaries who lack such rigid structures may adapt more quickly. When bureaucratic inertia slows the integration of new concepts, even a technologically superior military can find itself reacting rather than shaping events. In that sense, the modern equivalent of the sling and stone may already exist within civilian laboratories, small manufacturing networks, or independent engineering communities. The challenge is whether the institutions responsible for national defense are willing to recognize and integrate those capabilities before a crisis reveals their necessity. The ancient battlefield narrative endures precisely because it exposes a timeless pattern in human systems. Power structures tend to assume that legitimacy flows downward from established authority, while disruptive insight often rises upward from unexpected places. When institutions forget this, they risk standing on the hillside like Saul's army, well-equipped, highly trained, and yet temporarily paralyzed by a challenge that someone outside their ranks can already see how to solve. Stop rerunning this story minus David, or you will be handed a great defeat that the nation will not recover from. The consequences for that will then become obvious on earth and in heaven. As for people, so too for the nation.